You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Flip-flop goes the trail, sun is rising high. Two gals in the saddle, neath the big Nevada sky. Laughing and chatting as the desert rolls on by. It's saddle talk, come along for the ride.
Welcome, listeners, to Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Whether you're here to laugh with us, learn, or just ride along, you're in for a really good time. So go grab your helmet or your pooper scooper and settle in with us as we discuss life, horses, of course, and all the unexpected turns along the trail. And hey, whether you're a seasoned cowgirl or you're still learning, remember, we're sharing our own stories and opinions based on decades of personal experience. Always ride safe and check with a professional before trying anything new. Now let's go ride.
How are you this afternoon?
You just said howdy.
I did say howdy.
That was really cute.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're trying. Trying new and innovative stuff by saying howdy.
Is that like when you try a word out in the world, out in the wild?
Yeah, like your 50-cent word and your $1 word. I do. I think so.
I'm trying to transition to y'all.
All y'all.
That
comes very natural to me. I come from a part of the country that y'all is actually a word. It's Y apostrophe A-L-L.
I feel like that is more representative of being in the world. Like when I talk to people, I'd rather say y'all than he, she, whoever.
Yes, and it's short for all y'all.
All y'all.
All y'all.
Okay, that's my new word, y'all. Thank you for that. So, wait, so you're going to do, what was your word, howdy?
Howdy.
Okay.
Howdy, botna.
Howdy.
So this has been an adventure today, just so everyone has a kind of background to our giddiness. It's taken us an hour to set up our microphones because, yeah, we have over 2,000 downloads. I don't know how it happened.
How are we successful in any way?
Our lives. How do I raise three children? I don't know. I don't know.
I challenge anyone who thinks they know what they're doing in life to set up audio for a podcast.
It should not be the same.
It's very humbling.
It is very humbling. Anyway, back to our show. So today, obviously, we are trying to start with pony update. We should have some like background music for that. Pony update.
Oh, something cute.
Something cute. Yeah. So we'll maybe do that in the future. Insert some cute music. So I would like to start.
Yes, please.
My pony update. Yesterday I had a lesson with our amazing trainer, Jessica, and she has been helping me tweak things that I've been taught by other people that I've watched on videos. And I feel that I know how to move forward. There's a lot of things I can tighten up. So that's what she helps me with. So we've been working on the bridge that my wonderful husband so graciously built for me. And I got her on it. And she would just, I got her on it and she walked across it. And that's all we were doing. And it never dawned on me to use my bridge as a example of the trailer.
Oh, sort of as a pause point.
Correct. So I was asking her to go up and over, and she was. When I asked her to stop and back up, oh my God, everything blew up.
Oh, that was her trigger?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we worked on yesterday. And we got to a really great place, and I have decided, drum roll please, I have decided that I think I will take her first ride. It's going to be short. It's not going to be a trail ride. It's just going to be, I get on, I sit there, I might walk around in the round pen, which is small and not exactly round. So she can't get much speed.
Yeah, of course.
But I think I can. I feel like I have the confidence to do that. I'm trying not to think of the fact that I'm 60.
I know. That's what I was thinking right now. We're so breakable.
But am I any more breakable than I was at 20?
No. You know what's different is our fucking awareness about it.
Exactly. I agree. And I really feel that I can get on her as long as I practice. I'm going to make sure I'm not doing it tomorrow. I'm going to make sure that my groundwork is
solid.
Solid. Great word. I'm going to make sure my groundwork is solid. I'm going to practice, you know, stepping into the stirrup and getting down from the mounting block, laying over her, just everything.
And I think it's going to be a non-starter when you do sit on her. I think that if it is something that's scary for either of you, then neither of you are ready. Because I feel like we're doing this for a different reason. It's not like we have a two-year-old thoroughbred that needs to run the track in a month.
Or we're training for somebody else.
Exactly. We don't have that solid push behind us saying you have a deadline.
Well, except for Michael.
Except for your husband.
Story. I have to tell you a funny story. When we went and picked up Kaya, we didn't think she'd get in the trailer, and she got right in. She really did. And I didn't ask her to back out of that trailer. I just let her turn around and get out because that was my goal. And so yesterday, after Jessica helped me with the things I need to work on, today I was practicing and Michael's watching, and immediately he goes, "Hey, how about I set up the trailer and you can practice in the trailer?" And I stopped. And I'm like, I'm so glad I was far away because he was outside the arena, I was on the inside. And I looked at him and I thought, this is preparation for the Well, she got in the first time. I said, we had just ran her for an hour in the round pen. And I had good tasting alfalfa waiting for her. That motivation for her to get in was entirely different. It was not based on confidence. Mm-hmm. It was not based on trust. Mm-mm. Now we're working on that. You don't just jump to the trail.
No, wouldn't it be so dreamy if she could be one of those horses that you just throw the rope over and they fucking walk themselves in? I mean, that's my goal for Armani. I know that would be a goal for you. Like, just go ahead and load yourself, girl.
Yeah. You'd still tie them,
though. Oh, 100%. Okay. Yeah.
Well, because sometimes I see people throw the rope over their back and make them walk in and close the panel, and then they take off. And I'm like, well, aren't you worried about that, you know, falling down or I don't know, whatever. That's not the meaning of the book. So then the other funny thing, this is not really pony report. This is Sandy doesn't know how to even stand still report.
Uh-oh.
So I went in. I had a whole bunch of horse treats in my pocket.
Okay.
And horse treats don't break, just so you know. And so I'm standing inside one of the stalls. I was feeding them their buckets. They all get a bucket at 3:30. So we have to be done by 3:30. So I'm standing there and I was putting some water in the bucket of feed to soften it up. And as I turned around, all I did was turn around. I don't even think I took a step. But my toe, so the mats inside Shooter's stall have dirt up underneath them. So they're raised. So there's like a bump.
There's a lip.
There's a lip. And all I did was turn around.
Ugh.
And I must have caught it. I went straight down. Shooter took off, which thank God he didn't go forward, right? Or I would not be sitting here. He took off and I landed on my pocket of horse treats. I'm surprised I don't have a big ass bruise on my leg.
So your ass broke, but not the horse treats.
Yes.
And this was because of a lip of a mat.
Yes. Because I'm too lazy to pull it back, even out the ground, and make it right.
I've got news. We old girl.
Why did you do the same thing?
I do stupid shit like that all the time. And I just think to myself, I'm not 20 anymore. My body's not 20. I don't have the body awareness. I run into shit. I have a permanent bruise. Mm-hmm. Teachers everywhere know you have a permanent bruise on your hip.
From hitting a drawer?
Desks when you have to navigate.
Yes, when you walk around. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have to navigate the classroom. So I have this permanent bruise on my hip that doesn't go away unless it's summer break, which I'm almost on summer break. I'm super excited. But I think, you know, this whole idea that as we get older, we're just more afraid versus, you know, are we more breakable? I think you're right. Like, we aren't more breakable. We're just more aware.
In my brain, I'm 25 years old.
Yeah.
I am. I know my body is not, but I don't – 60 isn't what I thought it was going to be when I was younger and would look at 60 in other women.
You don't seem 60 to me.
Thank Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, I know I'm not that much. You don't sound 60. No, but you're not that much older than me. I feel like you're really not that much older than me. 10 years.
I don't know. That's a decade.
It is.
Yeah. I think we're both that. Just.
Over the hill.
Yes, we are.
We over that hill.
So do you have any pony reports?
Pony reports. I do. I'm very excited about Armani because I feel like we take two steps forward, one step back, that sort of thing. But our steps forward are always consistent. I've been saddling him and working him with the saddle. He doesn't even care. I was very sick yesterday because we all know that I have the worst immune system. Well, not worst, but I have a pretty terrible immune system. So I was super sick yesterday and I had to cancel my lesson with Jessica. So you got yours, but I didn't get mine. So I went out later on in the afternoon and I made him stand on the bridge because that was supposed to be our goal since a month ago when I saw her last. Yeah, he did great. He got all 4 feet up there and he waited.
And do you ask him to back up?
I haven't asked for the backup yet. I'm only having him go over the short side of the bridge. I'm trying to keep it simple and positive. So the first time ever, it's actually posted on our social media where he jumped over the bridge. That's on YouTube. But now, instead of him being so scared of it, he doesn't touch it. He will actually put 1 foot at a time and wait. Okay. So I'm happy about that. But what I'm most excited about is just the ponying that we've been doing and the walking with you and I.
Yeah.
Because he's doing this weird thing in the arena where he is so afraid of poles on the ground that he freaks out and, like, runs and jumps. But then when we took him out on trail, he was fine crossing over bushes.
And I made you walk off trail and go through all those bushes. I'm like, I didn't make you.
I know what you mean.
Can't make her do anything. And he did great.
He did awesome.
He had bushes rubbing his belly. He was getting caught up with his legs.
He didn't care.
Fine. And then you come home and ask him to go over a pole and he has a meltdown.
I know. It's hilarious, but not. And I was going to work with the poles on the ground yesterday thinking like, what would Jessica have me do? And she'd probably have me do the poles again. And I thought, no, I'm just going to do the bridge. And of course, he was better. So it's the little things like that where I can tie him up and not be afraid he's going to pull back. I can work him in his saddle and I know he's not going to freak out. So he's not where I want him to be, but I feel like I have a long time. Like you said, there's no deadline for me.
There's not.
And I'm excited about that.
That's great.
Thanks, friend. Oh, we have big news. I mean,
please do tell.
Medium? Is this medium news? It's probably medium news.
What?
That we got a rescue.
I know. Yes. Wasn't that amazing? He's such a beautiful horse and a beautiful soul. So we met him. Gosh, it's so funny because your neighbor told you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no.
Mm-hmm. My neighbor told me that she knew someone who was in need of finding a home for a horse, and I could literally get the horse for free.
That's right. And then you told me her name, which I will not mention, because we have learned our lesson on that.
And we live in a small town.
We do. So you told me her name, and I thought, oh my gosh, I know that name because there's not very many people with that name.
Uh-uh.
And come to find out, it was a mutual friend of ours. And so we went over to meet him, and neither one of – we were very good, everybody. Don't.
We were very good. We didn't take him right away.
I can't take him. You don't have the bandwidth. You have the physical room, but you don't have the bandwidth mentally.
For another
project. And your husband was able to find an owner for this rescue. And he's I'll let you talk.
I actually thought about it that day after we left the rescue. All I could think is he's going to get turned into dog food. Because that lady also said that if she didn't find him a home with one of us, because I think they've been looking for a little while, that she was going to take him herself, but she already has multiple horses. And so I just thought in the back of my mind, well, I know it's going to happen at her house. He's just going to sit there again. And he's been sitting a long time. His feet were truly overgrown. He's starving. It was a really bad situation that he'd been in. And so I couldn't help it but say out loud, I'll take him if no one else will. So my husband talked to someone at his work. The very next day, 24 hours later, after Sandy and I had seen him, we go out And Heidi and I look at the horse. Heidi falls in love. Her baby that she'd had for almost 30 years passed away a couple weeks ago. And so she's standing there crying like, I'll take him. And I was so excited. And before Heidi had seen the horse, before we had driven over there together, I told that woman in common that I would take him if Heidi didn't. And so she said, well, let's see how this goes. So I knew that I was going to take him no matter what. I knew that I was going to get him. And I kind of figured if Heidi didn't take him, I would train him up and sell him.
Oh, okay.
And I've never done that before because I always just find homes.
Right.
But that was going to be my security for a horse finding a decent home, is to try to train him up to a certain spot and then make sure I sold him for decent dough.
Exactly, because you know if somebody's got that dough to spend, then they're probably serious.
Especially in these economic times.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it worked out, and now he's living with me. Heidi's going to leave him with me for a bit longer because she said to me, and this is her own words, that I'm fucking amazing at feeding horses. And she said, Kara, you should charge people for what you're doing. I was like, no, like that's not my gig. I don't want to be a real trainer. I don't mind having a client or two. I do not want a border barn. I do not want a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
That I have to manage. That's not my game. This is just fun for me, and I'm really good at it.
Well, and you've got a big heart, and it's obvious, and he's looking beautiful.
Thank you.
Wait, he seems happy. If anyone follows us, listening to us, follows us on social media, which we really hope you do, you can see pictures of his feet before and after.
Oh my gosh. It wasn't the worst I've ever seen. They were ski slopes, but I've seen worse, and that's sad because I've only seen one in person worse than that. So, I mean, I imagine that he'd gone a couple years without his feet.
A couple years worth?
That was maybe 3 years worth.
And he was so good for farrier.
And my poor farrier broke his body over it. He couldn't barely walk back into his car. He worked on that horse for 2 hours.
Did he really?
Yeah. And wow. He just went bit by bit by bit. And that horse just stood there. And you could see the relief on the whole horse's body when the farrier got done with the second front foot, because he did the front feet first. His whole body just shifted and you saw him relax. It was amazing to see this physical change happen in front of my eyes of a horse just relaxing.
That's amazing.
I know.
That is just awesome.
So it's been an interesting journey since, because I've never rehabbed one where his feet were so bad. And I could see a change in the way that he stood. And then within a few days, he decided to run. And it took him a while. You could tell he was sore the next day. And not sore, tender foot sore, more like muscle, tendon, skeletal sore,
sure,
for a few days.
Sure. Well, it's like anything else. You know, I know when you go and get adjusted and your muscles start to conform to the way that your spine is out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So then once you get aligned, your body hurts. Well, you know, we got an amazing pedicure last week.
Speaking of farrier work.
Speaking of footwork. We got the most amazing pedicure.
It was Jail. It was Crystal Jail.
What was the name of
Cozy? Cozy Nail in Carson City. And they are the best, I think, the best pedicure spot in town, just because they have great chairs, great service, great ambiance.
What made me think of it, though, is my upper back between my shoulder blades is sore. Because I did a number on myself with that chair.
Oh, yeah, you sat there for so long with it.
I had it on the, you know, the really good stuff. And that was an amazing, and we told them that we'd give them a shout out. So if anybody is local to Carson City or even Gardnerville, Minden, maybe if you want to go a little bit further.
I think my measure of a great pedicure is if they will dig out my ingrown toenails. If you can successfully dig them out and I don't even know they're there, you win.
Yep.
Because I would have to go to the doctor for that.
And we walked in and they were playing ABBA.
Is there a better sign?
No.
No.
It's not. It was amazing.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely believe in self-care.
So now, are we going to be doing this once a month?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a date.
It's a date once a month.
We should pick a weekend, like the second Saturday or whatever it is. We should just do that.
That might be too big of a commitment for me.
Okay. I'll back off a little. I can just send a reminder. Okay. Soft push.
This is a great lead-in to one of our topics that we were going to discuss as well. While we were sitting there, you asked me if after the pedicure, we could go to the lotion store. And I said, absolutely, we can go to the lotion store. I was driving, and it was a cold day, though. That was a crappy day. That was a weird one.
That was like our third winter.
I know. And so I was like, sure, we can go to the lotion store. And you were trying to give me directions. And the way that this whole setup is designed, you can't just drive out and over.
Oh, you're talking about the mall. Like the actual mall where we have all of our stores in town.
I had to go all the way around, and it was just crazy. And as we're pulling up in front of the lotion store, it was actually, what is it, Bath and Beauty? No.
Bath and Body Works.
Bath and Body Works. And I said, why didn't you just say Bath and Body Works? Like, I would have known how to get over there, but I thought this was some obscure, because we are in a small town, there are little mom and pop lotion stores. Who knows? Bath and Body. And then it got me thinking, you also have this, I don't know what you call it, but it's not a tick.
Predisposition?
Yes. You have this beautiful horse here, an Andalusian, and you always referred to her as the Black Horse.
I did.
And she had a name.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the other one? Oh, the lady who's taking care of the rescue that you have. His name is Colt, by the way.
I'm so defective.
His name is Colt.
I can't
and
help
you refer to him as the rescue. And her name is Heidi, which I think she's okay with us saying, Heidi. Her name is Heidi, but you referred to her the other day as the lady that came over and cleaned. So I wasn't sure if you meant cleaned your house or cleaned your horseshit. But it made me question why you refer to labels and not the proper names.
It's almost like I have a blind spot.
Yeah.
It's a... I know what it is. It was my last traumatic brain injury where... it was a long time ago. I want to say probably, I'm not joking, almost 20 years ago. But I've had so many.
Can you tell the audience what happened?
Yes. So I do this labeling thing because it's an access to information issue. And the last time I got seriously hurt, my doctor told me that I can't get another one, which is why I always safety up. I safety vest up, I helmet. Remember we went to California and I bought that $600 helmet because of the rotational thing, technology inside. As soon as MIPS came out, I was all over that. Yeah. So you're going to laugh at me.
Well,
this is so bad. Okay, this is so bad. So everybody thinks I was in a surfing accident, like surfing on the waves.
Why?
Because
you have blonde hair?
No, I got hit in the head with a surfboard. And that was my last really bad brain injury. It clocked me.
It wasn't off a horse?
No.
Oh.
Usually my brain injuries are off horses, but I can't say that. I've had multiple brain injuries, and it's from being clumsy when I wasn't wearing a helmet. I'm being honest.
Do you think that when you were surfing, you should have been wearing a helmet?
Okay, that's the kicker. I wasn't surfing.
Oh, how did I hit my head with a surfboard?
I can't wait to send this audio to my ex-boss. Oh, my God. I can't wait because she had to come and get me. And it was about a week later when – I forget what they call it, but, you know, football players have it. It's that post – no, it's like post-traumatic brain something. There's an acronym for it. But here, I have no access to this information because that's how my brain works now. But I was just getting my surfboard out of the garage, and we had them stored on these ropes. So if you put a rope on each end of the surfboard, you can just kind of shimmy it one way and shimmy it the other.
Get it down.
I had a day off. I don't remember what my husband was doing that day, but I had to get the surfboard down by myself, and it was pretty high. So when I went to get the thing down, the fin on the back of my surfboard was hooked onto the rope. So I had to sort of lift it up to get the back off. Well, when I did that, it got caught because the fin on my surfboard is pretty long. I ride a longboard. I don't ride a shortboard. I'm not that athletic. So on my longboard, it got caught for a second. And instead of coming down at me immediately, it got hung up and it rotated and whacked me in the side of the temple.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So I just stood there and I thought, I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay. I got off the step stool, loaded my surfboard up. And this is early morning on probably a Sunday. Early morning Sunday, so there's less crowd at the beach. I go there. There's hardly anybody there. And I'm out on the water. And I'll never forget this because I had this overwhelming feeling of vomiting.
Ooh.
And I was in the middle of the water, in the middle of the ocean.
Wow.
And I just thought, oh my God, I'm going to pass out.
Were you surfing by yourself?
Yeah. I mean, there's other surfers there, sure, but sure. I didn't have a friend in the water with me, and the nearest person was probably a half a football field away. Because I just remember it being a very gray day. It wasn't something that was a good day to ride. It was a choppy day to ride. I didn't care. I was on the water. It was a great workout. So I'm scared. I'm holding onto my surfboard, and I thought to myself, I better get on in case I do pass out. Because I had gotten off for a second, like I rode a wave and then I jumped down. And so when I jumped down into the water after the ride, and I didn't ride that long, I just thought, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. So I got back on the surfboard and I sort of just used both arms so that my body was on the board and not off the board. Because you can sort of like get down and you can like walk it. But I just thought to myself, like, I better stay on this board. So I stayed on the board. I rode the little soft waters all the way in. It's the little mushy stuff at the front mm-hmm. of the wave. And then I just sat on the sand and I got really hot. And I took off like the top part of my wetsuit and I just sat there and I thought, okay, I feel really sick. I'm going to vomit. This is not good. I better just go. So load up, go back. That night, I'm lying down. I'm super tired, not feeling great. And I just went about my day like I always do. I just do my thing and I don't pay attention and I should be better about it. And I didn't think like, oh, it was the surfboard to the head. Mm-hmm. So a week later, this is on a Monday morning, I'm headed to work. And I don't know how else to describe it except that when you're a kid and you've been to a carnival and you're of a certain age, do you remember those paint pictures where you could drop the droplets of paint and then that
spins?
Yeah, and it spins and it's that cute little card.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm driving in my truck. I'm headed to work and the whole vision, my whole view spun like that paint.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, fuck. And I pull over because I was on a side street. I wasn't on the freeway. I was on a side street and I just pull over. And I knew my husband was at work. I didn't call him, but I called my boss. And she was a lovely woman. And I called her and I said, hey, I'm not okay. I need you to come get me. She knew where I was. And I don't remember why he was busy, but she came to get me. She brought me to the ER. She called my husband. I was in that hospital out of it all day. They thought – they did all those scans. They thought I had blood. I was fine. I just had a bad injury, and the doctor came to me and said, you literally can't hit your head anymore ever, that you are not going to be okay. You're going to be a vegetable.
Wow.
So after that, even when I do a lot of water sports, or I did a lot of water sports, and I always wore a helmet, and I was the only person wearing a helmet. Whether I'm wakeboarding or surfing, I always wear my water helmet, and I am not kidding when I tell you that I'm the only person doing it. I've always worn a helmet when I ride because there was a really, really bad accident at my barn when I was a kid. I was the first person to a person that fell off, and her brain was coming out. Yeah, she lived. And so ever since then, and she was not the same person after. Ever since then, I've always had this innate need to wear a helmet, right? And I did anyways. So you had asked me about, like, why do you do that? Why do you say the color of something? Or why do you give it, like, this general tag versus being very specific about a person's name or a horse's name? Mm-hmm. For a year after the injury, and I spent about 3 weeks in bed. I'm not lying to you. So after a week had gone by from the original injury date, I stayed in bed for 3 weeks after I'd gotten sick that morning and my boss had to pick me up. It was Christmas break, and wouldn't you know it, Christmas break lasts exactly 3 weeks. So I was in bed the whole time. My husband would walk into the room, ask me a question. I didn't answer him. I was just staring at a wall. Like, I'm not exaggerating this.
Wow.
Yeah. So he would say, hey, do you want some noodles? And I would say nothing. He would walk out of the room. It would register in my brain that he just asked me for noodles, and I could finally respond.
Wow.
So it was just this processing delay. That was my original entry into, oh, your life is different now. I felt like a different person. There was this disconnect between my body, my thoughts, and my actions. And it was almost, it truly was a processing disorder. And I felt like I'm never going to be the same again. I will never be the same person. I can't think straight. I was very frustrated. Things looked the same to me. I don't know how to describe it other than like if I looked at a shape of something, it looked the same shape as something else. So like my car keys, they all looked the same.
Oh, okay.
So when I would come home, I would go to open my door and be standing there so frustrated and then look down and realize, well, you're using a car key to try to get into the door.
Right.
So it was these little things that were just massive clues that my brain wasn't okay. I would fill, I remember specifically filling the dog water. The sound of the water hurt. Mm. I know. So there were all these major signs of like, you fucked yourself up, Kara, right? And then when I went back to work and I had to work the second semester, I was still not the same. I still felt depressed. I felt unbalanced. I felt I would forget things all the time, and I already am dyslexic. So when you're dyslexic, people in an email are going to think you're stupid even though you're not, right? Okay. So I already have a dyslexia problem, and I would send, and I am not exaggerating, every single email I ever sent for an entire year, I didn't add the attachment for a year.
Wow.
And one of my coworkers said in an email, a CC all mail.
Oh my God, I hate it when they do that. They called you out.
Yeah, but he said it not in a mean way because we all got along, but he said, oh, you pulled a Kara.
Oh, great.
Into this group email. Now, yeah. And so I thought, oh, this is a thing that's never going to go away or change. And instead of being mad about it or sad about it, I just decided, you know what? I'm fine. I can function. I'm still a badass human, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get the tools to do better. Mm-hmm. And I actually was at the time paying attention to Courtney King Dye's path. I didn't find her until probably a couple months into my injury.
Okay, so for people who don't know who she is,
she's this Olympic level dressage rider who was in a horrible accident. She was not wearing a helmet. She was in the warm up arena, and her horse was just a baby horse, and she fell. She hit her head, and she was riding dressage. And we all think that, you know, dressage is kind of slow and dopey, and how the heck are you going to get hurt doing that?
I would say dopey. I think it's just controlled. It looks like a dance. I mean, that's the beauty of dressage. It looks like ballet. And when you're watching it, it looks like it's controlled and it's slow. And even if you fell off, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. Obviously.
It's not, yeah. And back then, dressage riders at the top levels did not wear helmets. She got hurt, and, you know, shout out to Courtney, like, oh, I'm going to cry. She really helped me. And I wrote her an email back in the day just thanking her for doing a log and then, like, a diary. It's when it was really popular to just write. What did they call that? Just a blog?
Yeah.
Because I think now she has a vlog, a video log.
Right.
But back then, she just had a blog.
Did she reply to you?
No.
No. It just felt good to write the words.
It just felt good because the things that she was going through, I felt like were worse than what I had been going through, but it was of the same vein. Mm-hmm. So when she would talk about not being able to process information, and she would talk about how upset she was and how she missed her old self, and then she got to this point where she accepted herself, that's what let me accept my new reality and my new version of Kara was this woman who was now so different than the person she was accepting herself. And I thought, okay, she can do it. I can do it. So if she hadn't put that out there, I think in a big way, I might still get more mad at myself than I do, but I don't. I just thought, I'm going to use tools. And I thought to all of the kids that I work with, and I thought about the things that I do for them on a daily basis, and I color code everything.
Good for you.
If I color code it, I'm like, oh, pink key. Oh, yellow key time. And the colors for me totally make sense, but the shape of the key, I was just slower with handling.
I will stop giving you a hard time then. Or am I helping you by saying who? Which makes you stop and focus and maybe reconnect that stuff in your
brain. It sounds weird. It's not a focus problem. It's an access to information problem. I can describe everything around it, but I can't describe what it is. Yeah. And I did it that first year in the classroom where I would go to say a word and then the kids would finish and I turned it into a positive and it totally reminded me of Clinton Anderson because I saw him doing these training videos at the same time was when he was kind of popular. And so he on his videos and I saw him in person also, he would say, you know, he would start a word and then the whole audience would finish. And I just thought to myself, fuck it, that's brilliant. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait. People will finish my words. People will finish my sentences. And it worked out.
So does it bother you when I tease you? I mean, what is that?
It doesn't bother me.
Am I bullying now? I mean, are we discovering that Sandy has become a bully? And that every time I'm like triggering you when I'm like, why can't you say the name? Why do you say the – like I should stop doing that.
You can, but it's – I don't take it the wrong way ever. I mean, I should say Armani, not the gray horse, right? Like I should actually say the words, but the thing is it happens to me all the time still where I can speak around something, but I can't target it. And I have to be very thoughtful of what I'm thinking about in order to say it.
Okay.
So yeah, don't feel like you're bullying because you're not.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're at that point where we finish each other's sentences anyways. Okay.
So I don't know why there's such a stigma against wearing helmets at all, you know, just in general.
I don't either. And I know the dressage world changed after Courtney's accident. Mm-hmm. It was a huge movement that she started and it was called like Helmets for Riders or Riders for Helmets. And because I think dyslexic and after this, the rules around the world changed, and I think it took a couple of years for the upper levels of dressage to change. But when you turn on any competition now, everyone's wearing a helmet.
Well, and in the Western world, in barrel racers, you just introduced me to Fallon Taylor, and she had a traumatic brain injury from a fall off of a barrel horse. But when you watch barrel racing, you can see that happening. Like, more so than dressage.
Right. High speed.
Yeah.
High impact.
Yeah. Me to Fallon Taylor right before we started recording. And I just did a little, you know, look up of her. And she had a traumatic brain injury from barrel racing. And so she now has her own line of helmets. And hopefully that's going to help the Western world maybe see helmets in a different light because hers are really cool. They've got all these great colors and patterns and they're really, really cool.
You know, and I'm not sure why the Western world is so negative about not wearing them.
About wearing them.
About not wearing them. Oh, yeah, you're right. About wearing. Oh my gosh, girl. Yeah. I think it's going to take something bad happening to another rider. And I think it's going to need to be, you know, videotaped and it's got to be someone high level because otherwise I think people just don't have the motivation to change.
Exactly. And then there's all those just old time cowboys raising children and they think it's okay too.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? How many times do you see video of people throwing their kids up on a horse and they're not wearing a helmet?
I know.
I mean, obviously the horse is being controlled by the person and there's someone recording and there's someone holding the horse. But still, you don't know, like a big ass wing or a big scary plastic bag could come by and that horse just rears. Then what?
Yeah.
I mean, would I throw a kid up on a horse just for a picture? Maybe. I mean, yeah.
I've done it. Yeah. I've done that for sure. We all have.
I have neighbors with small children, and I told those two little girls that I put them on my horse. But even if I have a helmet that's too big for them and it covers their eyes, they're not riding. So I'm going to make sure that strap is tight and they can at least see underneath and, you know, walk them around the little round pen. I'll do that. But, you know, I would never, I don't know. Now, these days, I don't know. My mindset is different.
So. Mm-hmm. Self-preservation wise.
Yeah,
and I would like for everyone to get there, but I know that we won't. And I don't know if it's because we just want to ignore it, like a part of our personality just sort of ignores the fatalistic future of getting hurt. But everyone I've known, and that's only really two people who have had their lives completely changed from not wearing a helmet, both of them fell and hit the dirt. You know, Courtney King Dye fell and hit the dirt. It wasn't like she got clocked in the head with a hoof.
Right.
She didn't get, you know, trampled.
Right.
The one person I do know that got hit in the head with a hoof was a woman who passed away because she was trailering her horse. It was a freak accident, and he kicked out while she was closing the back door.
No way.
Yeah. And that was hoof to brain, hoof to skull.
Oh, my.
So when I have new people come on my property, I have them sign a waiver that they're going to wear a helmet all the time. I don't know, you know, especially when it's a new client, you don't know how people are going to really act in an emergency situation. Are they going to do the quote unquote right thing that a horse person, you know, automatically kind of knows where to stand when a horse is freaking out? And even then we make a mistake, we fall.
Right.
You know, we burn the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes, we fall.
We fall.
We fall just standing.
Yep. You fell on a lip of a piece of rubber.
And I fell towards my horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the good sense to retreat, beating forward. But you don't know.
You
don't know.
You don't know. And it's their bodies are 1,200 pounds versus ours.
Yeah.
And it's silly to me that it's not completely accepted. I get that there's this long history, and I think that we're one of the only sports, equestrian sports, that still holds so tight to these old tenets.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're English world or Western world, there really are these old rules that people follow.
Yeah.
You know, and it's my hope moving forward in the future that we can sort of break free from unwritten rules.
Mm-hmm.
Unwritten rules piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they hold you back, and if you want to wear a cute helmet, girls, wear those cute helmets and don't even worry about it, because I know I'm going to be helmeting up for the rest of my life.
And do you think it's more men? I mean, if you saw more men wearing helmets, do you think society would have a different outlook than if they saw women wearing helmets?
That's a great question, and I would have to say that it's more accepted in the English world. Like, men wear helmets all the time when you watch Road to the Horse. And a couple of the – what's that one guy that just – he just won, like, 2 years in a row. The Canadian.
Tip.
What is it?
Tip.
Tick.
Tick.
Tick Maynard.
Tick Maynard.
See, look, you had to find the word for me. And I was like, the Canadian. Yeah. Yeah. So it's – he's still being like this manly version of himself, and he's doing this thing that people can't do, and he did it 2 years in a row. So people in the English world have worn them since Courtney King got hurt, and now everyone wears them, including men. But I think you're right. I think it would take a man, and like that's kind of a crazy thing to think about our society, that it's going to take a man wearing a helmet in order for everyone to accept it. But you know what, friend? I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think it's going to take men at the top wearing it, because men at the top have been wearing it in the jumping world forever. I mean, they weren't always super safe. They were like this thin plastic. I still have a couple from the 60s and 70s.
Back when football kind of got started and they had those weird things on their head.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just a bucket.
Like leather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like even before the bucket. But you're right. I think everyone sort of sees it in the jumping world of why you would want it, but not for nothing. Every time I fell jumping, I feel like I always crushed my other bones. Yeah. Not that my head was not in danger, because it was, and I'm sure I hit my head, but I crushed my pelvis, I crushed my ribs, I hurt my arms, you know, that kind of thing.
It's just a way of thinking.
It is. It's a mindset.
Yeah.
Ugh. I hope it changes because I just think about all the little kids that ride and I would hate for them to be hurt.
I don't think it's going to change in our lifetime.
Really?
I don't.
I've been surprised about the shit that's changed in our lifetime already.
Yeah. I just think there's just too many old-timey type people that
spread the negative word.
Well, not that it's a negative word. It's just, it's romanticized. It's in the movies. Mm. Like when you watch Yellowstone, or I don't know if you saw the new Dutton Ranch, because we're already watching it.
Good for you.
They're not wearing helmets.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Beth's mom fell off a horse and died.
They don't wear helmets.
And that is what her issue was all through Yellowstone with horses. But now in the Dutton Ranch, Beth is riding. I love seeing her character accept the horse now because it was a huge trigger for her. But even still, she's not wearing a helmet.
And her mom died. Yeah. And her mom hit the ground.
So, yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation. And I think helmets is a very controversial thing. So we are not here to be judgmental. We are just here throwing out the information. So
that's true.
Everybody be safe. Kara and I will be wearing our helmets. And we love everybody and thank you for listening. And please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not very active on Instagram because I'm old. It is hard, but I love TikTok. We're on TikTok. So stay safe, everybody.
Yep. Stay safe. Happy trails.
Toodles.
Toodles. Hey, friends. That's the end of today's ride. We hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to follow Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a review, share us with a friend, and saddle up with us next time as we ride through more stories, questions, and our wild tangents. Till then, friends, keep your boots dusty and your hard hats on. We hope to see you out on the trail.
Sandy and Kara stirrups swinging free, talking about life and love and mystery. From coyotes to coffee, they'll cover it all with the sagebrush blowing and the wild birds call. So cinch up your boots, we're hitting the track. Saddle Talk's on and we're not looking back.